All right, let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 3. Psalm 3, the notes are at the back. And it reads, the superscript, the title of the psalm is a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. He laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Amen. So, Psalm 3, we begin, in one sense, to look at psalms progressively in the Bible that speak of pain and anguish. All these psalmists that write these psalms, even Psalm 5, Psalm 7, and onwards, right, they speak of great anguish that they experience at the hands of their enemies. So what we progressively will see is that a lot of God's people, especially the psalmists, have pretty bad days. And I suppose all of us here also have bad days. We all experience opposition. We all have to deal with pain and difficulties of opposition. But how we deal with them shows our trust in the Lord. So how do you normally deal with your opposition? Let's say from your bosses, or from your family members, or from any other person that you come across and you have opposition. Well, we see that those who trust in God will have a hope in God and will be given the ability to control their situation. I guess control is not a good word, but deal with their situation in a godly manner. Now, Psalm 3, of course, speaks about a very specific kind of opposition. Now, some of us, due to no fault of our own, we will encounter opposition. But very often, through our own contribution, our own sins, through the sin of our lips, not saying something right or doing something to someone, we will also receive opposition. And that really is what Psalm 3 speaks about here. And the four stages, which are printed in your notes, that a believer goes through when he deals with such opposition, right? And firstly, we see that when we encounter such such problems, there will be desperation. Now, David wrote this psalm, and as the title informs us, when did he write this psalm? It was at the occasion when he was running away from his son Absalom, right? Now, the background of this psalm is complicated, it's convoluted, but I think it's really important. Now, as you know, David's problems really began when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, right? In order to cover up his adultery, what happened? Well, he had to kill Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. And as a result of that, God judged him and said that his life then on, right, from then on, would be compassed about with lots of trouble, right? And so his son with Bathsheba died. And what we see is that one of David's sons, Amnon, he raped his half-sister Tamar, okay? And Tamar had a full-blooded brother by the name of Absalom who got really upset with Amnon. And what did he do? Well, he killed Absalom, or he killed Amnon. Now, the interesting thing is when David heard about both of these crimes, the rape as well as the murder, he didn't do anything. Now, why do you think he didn't do anything? I think it's very simple. He ignores the situation because these were the two sins that he was guilty of. And so he didn't exactly have that moral authority or that standard, or maybe he felt that way, to do anything about it. That's not to say that we shouldn't or that he should not have. In fact, I think that he should have. You know, we know that sins have their consequences, but if we can do something to prevent it, we ought to. So by the time it came to this situation, Absalom had become very defiant, and he thought himself better than David, and he staged a rebellion. And it was a rebellion that caught even David by surprise, so much so that we learn, I think in 2 Samuel 15, that David, in the middle of the night, ran away from Jerusalem with all of his wives and concubines, well, not all of them, but some of them, right? And his, some of his other children, they ran away, and he ran away barefoot and weeping. Right? It was so sudden. So it's in this context that David wrote this psalm. And essentially, what he did was he brought all of his problems on himself. He knew that he sinned, right? And he knew that these problems came on him. In verses 1 and 2, he says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." Okay? So we see here that there was desperation. He was attacked. He was hunted down by his own son. But yet, what we see is that there was also hope. He did not remain in his despair. Many survivors of the concentration camps in Nazi Germany, they pointed to the fact that many had died, even though those who were not put into the gas chambers, but many of those who were, you know, tortured and so forth, they gave up hope and they died. And in order for those to survive in concentration camps, a survivor by the name of Viktor Frankl said that you needed to not lose faith, right? And David is an example of one who didn't lose faith and hope in that time of despair. And so you see in verse 3 that he confessed his hope in God, and he knew and he prayed that God would intervene in his situation. Verse 3 says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head." David, of course, was a warrior, and he knew that in war, in battle, one of the things that protects you is the shield against sword and arrow. So his heart cry here was that God would be his shield. And verse 4 shows his confidence. He was confident that God would hear his cry. It reads, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill." So when we go through our difficulties, yes, there's often desperation. But how quickly do we translate that desperation into hope? Right? Of course, the quicker, the better. All right, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 tells us that we ought not to be anxious about anything, but by prayer and by supplication, and with thanksgiving to make our requests known to the Lord. And what will come over us as a result of that prayer? A peace that surpasseth all understanding. Now, Martin Luther, he had this to say with regard to prayer in times of difficulty. And he said, "Guard yourself against such false and deceitful thoughts that keep whispering. Wait a while. In an hour or so, then will I pray. Or I must first finish this, or I must first finish that. You know, when opposition comes our way, very often the Spirit prompts us, you need to surrender to God, you need to pray, you need to seek help. But what's the thing that we often do in those times? We often don't go to God, but we try to think of our own solution, and we try to scheme, right? But God commands that all we have to do is go to Him. Martin Luther continues to say, thinking such thoughts, we get away from prayer into other things that will hold us and involve us till the prayer of the day comes to naught. It is a good thing to let prayer be the first business when you fall into a problem. You know, yeah, I was sharing on the Lord's Day that, you know, at times I have this issue, you know, anger grips me. Emotions grip us, grip all of us. The first thing that we ought to do is pray and go to God and learn to surrender. But that's the very thing that often we don't do. And as a result, we focus on other things, and those things get our attention, especially the opposition on hand, and we forget eventually to pray. So hope, and that is seen in David's prayerfulness. And thirdly, what we learn here is that there is dependence. David had dependence. Encountering trials, we hope in God, but we don't always trust that God is in control. You see, prayer has to be something that continues. It's not just a one-off prayer. Going to God is just not one-off, but it is a continual thing, right? And when we do go to God in prayer, we have to really lay down our burdens. There's a story of this little old Indian lady, and she was selling oranges that she had planted, and she filled up an entire basket full of oranges and was carrying it into town, and as the custom of the Indians, she carried it on her head, and it was getting really heavy. And this other man, driving a bullock cart full of vegetables, drove by, and he stopped and he invited her to come onto the bullock cart because he was also going to town to sell all of his goods. So the woman got on the bullock cart with great thanks, right, gratefulness, and they rode on. But 2 kilometers down the road, he turned back to look at the woman, and she still had the basket full of oranges on her head. So he laughed at her and said, you know, this cart is able to take not only our weight, but my vegetables and also your oranges. Take a load off. Now, that's the same with many of us. You know, we come to God, we pray, but we're not actually laying down our burden at His feet. And I think the reason for that is because if we lay our burdens at His feet, we're not exactly in control of our situation anymore. You know, when you're angry at something, when people hurt you, sometimes you feel you have to scheme, you have to think of things. Because not to do so and put it in the hands of God means that you're not in control of your situation. Right? But that exactly is what God wants of us. He wants that dependence. Verses 5 to 6 demonstrates this. David was so dependent on God that he was at complete peace. He said, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. You know, Jesus in Mark chapter 4 slept through the storm. Now, there's no other account of Jesus ever sleeping but that one. Right, you have the accounts of the disciples sleeping, right, and the man who fell asleep. But Jesus, this was the only account. We frequently lose sleep over things, but David was able to sleep well. He had no trouble because he cast his care on Jesus. Now, a lot of us as Christians, we say we pray. We do pray, but we're not actually leaving our burdens at the feet of Jesus. And as a result, we wonder why we have no peace at all. A.W. Tozer has this to say: with the goodness of God to desire our highest welfare, the wisdom of God to plan it, and the power of God to achieve it, what do we lack? Now, Jesus said, you know, if you worry, you still won't add one cubit to your height. Right? It's the same thing with our troubles. When we get to a point like David in his desperation, there's really at times nothing more we can do but just leave it to God and to lay it at his burden. Spurgeon has a wonderful quote. He says this: the way to grow strong in Christ is to become weak in yourself. God pours no power into man's heart till man's power is all poured out. The Christian's life is one of daily dependence on the grace and strength of God. Now, as Christians, we want to be in control when we really are unable to be, right? And God only grants us that strength when we become weak. You know what Paul said, right? Three times he besought Christ to take away that thorn from his flesh, but Christ told him, no. Why? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Right? It's only when we become weak do we receive the strength of God. And this is something that David here was learning and he experienced. And I would say the reason for David's confidence and his dependence was not only the hope that he had in God, but he knew that ultimately God would rescue him. Okay? Despite the soldiers after him, despite his son betraying him, despite the fact that he had no shelter and no food, he announces in verses 7 to 8, remarkable. He said, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Now, David was someone who had constantly experienced that, right? David experienced it with the lion, right? When he was a shepherd boy, he killed the lion. Then David also experienced it with Goliath, right? David also experienced it with Saul, who sought after David, you know, for such a long time. And here, David, of course, knew the redemption of God. And so, even though it was his son who had done this great evil against him, he was confident that God would rescue him, that God would ultimately judge. He asked God, literally, if you look at this verse, what was he asking God to do to his enemies? Yeah, well, that's a nice King James version. But what does it actually say? Slap my enemies, right? Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. What's David asking God to do? Knock out their teeth, right? So here, David was done injustice, and he brought this to God, knowing that God ultimately would repay evil for evil, right? And that's God's promise to all of us. Whoever blesses us will be blessed. Whoever curses us will be cursed. Right? And God will, maybe not in this lifetime, perform it, but he will certainly reward those who torment us and those who oppose us, either by, of course, saving them or eventually judging them. So the question I want to pose to you guys is this: whenever we have opposition, whether it be like David, where he was partially responsible and he received all this evil into his life, or whether we just experience evil, are we people who are overly emotional? do we let these troubles get to us? Do we let others get angry on our behalf? Well, in our desperation, hope, depend, and understand that God will redeem and rescue. So this really prevents us from scheming for ourselves if we rest in God. You know, God provides this help for us. If we are willing to do what God wants us to do, we won't face the problems that we experience. Now, there's a story of this man who was walking down the narrow cliff on a dark night, and he slipped and he fell. Suddenly, he fell over the side, and he went tumbling down. And thankfully, you know, a branch caught him, and he was holding on to the branch for dear life. And so he prayed, God, if you're really there, please help me. There's nothing. So he cried out even harder. Oh God, I'll go to church every Sunday and read my Bible. Please help me. Nothing. Then he cried out again. God, I will do whatever you want me to do. Just please help me. Then he heard a still small voice say, just let go. Just let go. So he thought about it for a while. Then he cried out again. Is there anyone else up there? He didn't like the voice of God. He didn't like what God was telling him. Right? And sometimes we say we're willing to do what God wants us to do as long as it's agreeable to us. And that, of course, never provides any relief. But what he did was he trusted David. He trusted in his eventual redemption. So the surrender that he practiced brought him more peace than he could ever imagine. So for us, how quick are we to surrender? I think that's one of the greatest problems with those of us who are Christian. We don't learn to surrender as we should, right? Because surrender means self-denial, and we don't want that. But what did Jesus say? Right? What did he say? If we are to follow him, we are to deny ourselves. So may that be an encouragement to you, perhaps in your daily walk, in your whatever opposition you're facing, whatever emotions you have, and just to surrender it to God. Let's pray. Eternal Father, we thank you for the example of David, how indeed he was a man after your own heart. And while he did sin, yet he did continue to surrender and trust in you. Father, we have all manner of issues in our lives. And often we are troubled. We pray that you would teach us in our desperation to hope in you, to pray, to depend on you, to truly leave our burdens at your feet in surrender, seeking that rest you so desire us to have, and to be confident of our eventual rescue, our deliverance from that situation. Help us to respond the way David did, that we may experience true peace. We commit ourselves into your hands. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in closing,